Good morning, Harvest Church, and welcome guests. If you are tuning in, it is grievous that we couldn't meet today in person, but it is a joy that we get to meet virtually and bring the word through the virtual space. Praise God that His kingdom is not at any threat this morning. Let me pray for the Lord's blessing as we get going. We open up His word this morning. Father, Your word is alive and active, and it does accomplish everything that You send it to accomplish. Would You cause Your word this morning to accomplish much in our hearts, transforming us, renewing our minds, inspiring faith, hope, peace, and joy. God, would You strengthen Your church, advance Your mission, and above all else, glorify Your Son. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. With the election just days from now, right around the corner, the candidates are in full swing, casting their visions, casting their different platforms for America, trying to latch on to the hope of America. What is America going to hope into and hope for? And one thing that's been very interestingly absent from the debates, absent from the platforms, is not one candidate has been promising eternal glory. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a candidate promise and assure us that eternal glory is coming, eternal peace filled with inexpressible joy. No candidate is promising to remove sin and evil externally or internally, remove sin and remove suffering from the human equation. Why is that? Because no human can deliver on that sort of promise. But that is our true longing, is it not? We groan in this broken world and we long for a new world, and praise be to God this morning that there is a King who makes that exact promise for us. And He is faithful and powerful and able and is going to deliver on that promise. This morning is about this forever King. Isaiah is writing to us about this forever King who's bringing a future glorious kingdom that is going to shatter our minds and is going to fill us with joy forever and ever. And so this morning, if you are struggling, which if you are human, I don't know how you aren't struggling, right? 2020 has been a difficult year across all kinds of fronts. If you're struggling this morning, sin, guilt, struggling, facing your own inevitable suffering and mortality, suffering with addiction or job loss or whatever it might be, Isaiah, God, through Isaiah, has incredible good news for us. As he writes to us in Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah is using an analogy of a sunrise. He too is writing, prophetically speaking, to a people who are in darkness and life seems to be getting worse and worse and worse and hope seems very far from them. We even saw in 59, if you might remember, 59 verse 9, we hope for light and behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We hope for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. And in chapter 60, Isaiah writes about this promise in this King, an analogy of a sunrise. If you just imagine for a moment the most beautiful, glorious sunrise you've ever seen, casting beams of glory and hues of color, blues and pinks and purples and oranges and everything in between, all those gradients, that just brilliant glory coming from the sun. That's what Isaiah is painting a picture of here this morning. And his eyes are to that sunrise, but they're also on this kingdom. And he's looking almost like he's prophetically looking at the city of God, at Jerusalem, Maybe like he's done many times before, as that sun would come over those hills and those beams would cast their light on that city, and the city would be transformed from darkness into light. That's the analogy that Isaiah is using. And it's good news for the people of God in Isaiah's time, and it's good news for the people of God today. And so this is the darkness into which God now speaks. I'm going to read the entirety of the chapter and then make a few observations about the kingdom of God that is now shining. Let's hear the word of God, chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house. Who are these that fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? For the coastlands shall hope for me, the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your children from afar, their silver and gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has made you beautiful. Foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Your gates shall be open continually, day and night they shall not be shut, that people may bring you to you the wealth of the nations, with their kings led in procession. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you shall come bending low to you, and all who despised you shall bow down at your feet. They shall call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated with no one passing through, I will make you majestic forever, a joy from age to age. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold, and instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze, instead of stones, iron. I will make your overseers peace and your taskmasters righteousness. Violence shall be no more heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no more be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will hasten it. Praise be for the word of God this morning for us. Chapter 60 is one of the most marvelous, glorious pictures of our future kingdom with God. We're going to look now at this kingdom that is shining, make a few observations. Number one, the kingdom of God shines because God makes it shine. The kingdom of God shines because God makes it shine. What Isaiah wants to be emphatic here in these verses is that God is the source. It is God's doing. Verse 1, the glory of God has risen among you. His glory risen among you. Verse 7, I will beautify my house. Verse 10, in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I will have mercy. Verse 15, I will make you majestic. I will. Verse 21, you will be righteous and possess the land forever. The branch of my planting and the work of my hands that I might be glorified. The kingdom of God shines because God makes it shine. There can be no mistake here. It is by God's hand that this light is coming to the people. When you're on the beach watching a sunset, you're not there twisting a dial trying to make the sun rise. Neither are you sitting there going, I'm awesome. Look at me right here in this moment. That's not what you do when you're on the beach watching a sunset. No, you are a passive bystander watching the glory of this sun rise, and you recognize your nothingness in that moment. It's humbling in that moment, and all the focus is on this radiant beam of glory, this star that is rising. All focus is on this star. Isaiah does not want us to focus on ourselves. We're going to see the transforming grace here, but it all comes, the source is God, His power coming by grace for us. But how does this light come? It does not come abstractly, it comes very specifically, and that's what we see next. The kingdom of God shines through King Jesus. The kingdom of God shines through King Jesus. The light is not abstract, and it's not some mystical light inside or somehow like woven into creation somehow. That's not how the light is coming, and that's not how we access the light. The light is in a person. It's in a specific person, a divine human person. 100% God, 100% human. It's the Holy One of Isaiah chapter 6 who dwells in unapproachable light. It is this God who is taking on flesh into this world. That is King Jesus. That is who John makes very clear in chapter 1 of his gospel. The light was coming into the world. Darkness could not overcome it. And this light is him. The light prophesied here in Isaiah is the light of King Jesus as he would come. In the center of this glorious city and this kingdom is a king, is a servant king who Isaiah has been pointing us towards. He is in the absolute center of this city. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the name above all names, above all rule and authority and power and dominion. That is the King that is in the center of this city, sitting on his throne. Praise be to God for his glorious King. But there is a warning in verse 12. A very clear warning. If you do not submit to this king, all other kings and nations will perish. We see the exclusivity of Christ here. Salvation is found exclusively in this king. Why is that? Because the entire world is condemned for their sin. King Jesus, the light, comes into this world to ransom us, to pay the penalty for our sin, to absorb the judgment that we deserve, that we rightfully deserved by God. Wrath hangs over all of us. Jesus dies in our place on the cross. If we believe in Christ, then that wrath no longer hangs over us, and we get the righteousness and the blessing of Christ. He takes the wrath for us. But if we do not bow our knee and confess him as Lord and Savior, believe in his cross and resurrection, then the wrath of God still remains. It still remains. That is why it is exclusively in Christ, because only Christ can provide salvation. And it's exclusive in Christ, but it's also inclusive. There's a lot of hope here. The next thing we see is the kingdom of God shines to the whole world. We see throughout these verses that salvation is clearly offered on a global scope. It's coming, it's shining through Christ to his people, but it's going to the ends of the earth. That's what Isaiah is talking about, this picture, this beautiful picture from the north, the south, the east, and the west. All these people from across the globe and all these different ethnicities all over the place are flocking in. They're being drawn in like a magnet, and it's not burden. There's intense blessing here and delight that the nations are coming. Right, they've seen the light. There's light that's coming down in Israel and on Zion, and we're flocking to it. People are flocking to this light, and there's so much delight there that they're coming and they're bringing praises. They're bringing praises of God. They're bringing all their wealth, everything they have to their name, everything they have underneath their hands. All of it is brought to adore and to magnify this King. The light has shone, and people are flocking to the light out of darkness. It's a beautiful picture, and this is what's been happening in magnificent fashion since the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The gospel has been advancing across the globe, and people from every nation, tribe, and tongue are hearing the good news of this King, and they are bowing the knee. They are confessing the tongue that he is Lord and Savior, and they are bringing praises. God's glory has been expanding in unprecedented fashion for 2,000 years. Nothing can stop God's kingdom from coming. This is good news for us. If you feel like you're far off this morning, if you feel like there's just too much sin, hear the word this morning that God's arm is not too short to save you. There is no one and no situation too far away from God's power to completely redeem. His love has no enemy. His love will find you. His love is here present for you today. May we all believe in Christ for us. But finally, Isaiah shifts here in these verses, and he's also looking to climax his vision here. The last thing we see is that the kingdom of God shines with eternal glory. The kingdom of God by Isaiah here is ultimately characterized by this, the presence of the living God. That is the absolute blessing that Isaiah is pointing us to. There's a lot of figurative speech here. It's not meant to be taken literal. It's meant to be taken spiritually. The spiritual reality that Isaiah is pointing to is that God will be in our midst forever. And that means eternal glory forever. That's why there's not need for sun and moon and building materials and all this other stuff. Everything's being transformed, and it's given a sense of permanence, a sense of authoritative forever rule. That's King Jesus. He's forever ruling in a permanent eternal kingdom. And there is the fullness of transformation that takes place here. We can't also miss that. This eternal glory, for us to get there, that means we will be transformed. This world will be transformed. That's exactly what God has promised to do. A miracle upon miracles. This is what I kind of experienced as I was thinking about sunrises this week. Some of the most beautiful sunrises I've seen when we take our kids down to the beach, and the last day of the trip, we always try to get out to the ocean to watch the sunrise as we get them out while it's still dark out there to the water. And as a parent, your gaze is split. Part of you is watching the sunrise, and the other part is watching the faces of your children. And it's an unbelievable joy to watch their faces fill with colors of orange and pinks and reds, and their eyes beginning to sparkle and their faces filled with wonder as that sun starts creeping over the horizon, casting its beams on their faces. It's a beautiful, transforming picture. That's what God's grace and power wants to do for us in this world. It's going to transform us. All things are being made new. The old is gone, the new has come. The promise forever and ever ago that God would redeem this cursed world through a seed that would crush the serpent is coming and is here in the person of Jesus. We can, on the basis of God's word, say that yes, it will keep getting better and better and better. When we get to heaven in that future kingdom, it will always keep getting better. Can you imagine a reality like that? Where you don't have to fear what tomorrow is going to bring. All you get to do is hope for more and more glory that you're going to experience. And church, that is exactly what God is bringing to us. Hallelujah. The Apostle John picks this up in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Church, arise. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. It has dawned in Christ, and it will dawn in all of its full manifestation at Christ's second coming. When that time is ready, God says he will hasten it. May we be patient, church. May we be patient, and may we eagerly hope for this glory that is coming. May be we filled with peace and faith and joy, knowing that our enemies have been put under his feet. We are headed to a beautiful place of his presence forever and ever and ever. That is our future glory for all who would believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for a word of true hope that we can hold on to. There is just nothing else we can hold on to in this world. God, we thank you that you have a kingdom that is far greater, far more permanent than America or any other nation that would ever grace this earth. God, we thank you for a forever kingdom under the grace-filled, powerful, and loving rule of our forever King, your Son, Jesus. We thank you this morning, God, and we praise you. We praise you for our hope. We ask even today, God, in the midst of such brokenness and darkness around us, we pray, God, like your word asks us to pray. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, King Jesus, and inaugurate your kingdom in all of its fullness, all the fullness of its glory. Come now, come quickly, and wipe away our tears. Bring healing to all of our heartache. Transform and renew us into the fullness of your righteousness, where sin and death and Satan would forever be only a memory. God, we love you and look forward to your day and your time. We pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's in your name we pray. Amen.